I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Well, today we have Phil Barone, owner of Rosaria's on 3rd Street, Rosie's Italian Grill, and lead singer for Phil Barone and the Cruisers, a Jim Morrison awesome tribute band. Hi, Phil. How are you?
How are we doing, Wendy? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Thank you for coming.
And Lori.
Hi. It's
been a while.
Yeah, so Phil does so many things. I've known him for over half my life.
Don't say I'm
I know. It's right. Over half my life for sure. Always just a hard working, always thinking of the next very cool thing to do. And anyway, so
I would like to know how Rosie's started and
the very first Rosie's.
Yeah, like the very, yeah,
I was
like
back, from, I think it was like 1980 or 81. Mm-hmm. My brother John, we had a building that was my dad's building on Savannah Avenue. And he calls me into his office, you know, we sit and we're talking. He goes, what do you think about opening up a restaurant? We'll do mom's food. I said, great, let's do it, you know. And I was kind of selling real estate at the time. I think the interest rates were like 12%. You know, I'm ready to do anything but real estate right now. And so we started talking about it, and that's what happened. So we opened it up, and it was a little deli, really. And the cool part about it, actually, too, was right, we had the double doors that went into another room that was an arcade. And that's when arcades were just coming out with Pac-Man and Centipede all that. And then, then another cool thing is MTV just came out. So we put a big screen television in the arcade. So the kids all came there and just had a ball with, playing that. And my biggest problem was I got into some of those games, you know, and I put a pizza in the oven, right? And I'd go start a game. It's going to take 10 minutes to cook the pizza. Well, I'm getting into the game next time. I'm going, oh no. Better put another pizza in the oven. You know? But it was fun. It was the food was fantastic. But people really didn't know us for food yet. And the arcade pretty much kind of kept us going. And then my dad was a lawyer, and he had a relationship with Open Pantry, which is a convenience store back in the day. And he said, I'm going to buy this building. I think you guys are ready to, you know, kind of step it up and have parking, you know, it had parking. So that's what we did. And it kind of took off from there. And it was, it's been a long haul, but it's been fun. Mm-hmm.
So it was Savannah first and then McCord?
No, Secor.
Secor, that's right, of course, yes.
Yep, Secor and Alexis, and then McCord.
Mm-hmm. Then McCord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Northtown Mall.
There. And then across from the Masonic.
Yep.
And Heather Downs. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you have a little food truck, too. Do you still have that?
We have
two big ones.
Two of them.
And actually it's not little?
Yeah, there's one big one once, a senior and junior. And no, we're actually closing down this year. And it was, we were probably one of the first trucks out there. And that was a lot of fun. That was interesting. But that, you know, it's like having another restaurant. It really is. And it's a lot of things to do. And we just felt that it was time. My partner, Chef Eric Kish, we kind of had a heart-to-heart and talked about it. It's like, let's close it down. We just opened up another store in Perrysburg called Rosaria's. And so that was, that was a lot of work there. So we just said, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, so.
Sometimes it's time to just take it down to one or two really, really nice things, which the food is, come on.
Delicious. I mean,
in the 80s, in the early 90s, I was a solid 30 pounds heavier because of these guys. I'm sure of it. For sure. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we had a good teacher. My mom, Rosie, and that's where the name comes from, obviously, and Rosaria is mom's real name and my daughter. So she was born in Sicily, and she came over when she was 5 years old, holding grandma's hand, looking at the Statue of Liberty, and totally intimidated, like, where are we, and what's going on? But what a woman. She's just a fantastic mom and a great cook. I mean, she would make a meatloaf something special. You'd be cutting in the meatloaf, and it's like, there's a hard-boiled egg or something like that.
See, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you about the hard-boiled eggs and the sauce? I still do that.
So, so we tried to take a lot of her recipes and bring them to the store. And the hardest part was getting Mom to write down a recipe. Everything was up in her head. I go, Mom, you know,
Italians don't use recipes.
Yeah, I know. You're a pinch of this, a pinch of that. Yeah. My pinch is different from your pinch.
Yeah.
And so we finally got that done.
It had to take time, right?
It did.
For her to do.
Yeah. But she really enjoyed it. She was working with her boys because it was my, you know, myself and John and Mike.
Nice.
We're all in there, and she really enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah, and I remember meeting you guys years ago because I was coming out of a doctor's office and I backed into one of Rosie's trucks, like smashed into it.
Oh, you're the one that did that. That dent.
Okay. I know. But it was funny because he was so nice. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can we just not call the cops or the insurance company? I promise I'll take care of it. And thank goodness I did because, you know, our paths then crossed after that.
Yeah.
Right. And, I fixed it. We fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, thank goodness.
That's great. I forgot about
that. Oh, my gosh.
What during COVID, happened to you guys that stands out in your mind?
That was a horrible time for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you had to close down, it was just like, you know,
what's
everybody going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, and then we got to open up carry out, and we had such a great nucleus of people over at McCord that saved us. They would come in, and we tried to work the moms that had the kids mm-hmm. and the most, and they would tip huge
mm-hmm.
and just help. And it was just, if it wasn't for those people that were really our big part of our family, took care of us, and it was something special to see. It really was. Mm-hmm. That and they just kept coming in. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we're pretty busy with carryout.
That's so nice.
And then we opened up completely. They just kept coming in. And with carryout, business over there is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really is. And then doing Rosaria's was a huge challenge because it was towards the tail end of that, and we had to get open. You know, I had a landlord for the first time, and it was like, okay, he wants his rent. You know, so we got to try to hurry up and get open. And to hire people back in that day was really tough, and you really had to pay a lot more than you think you could even afford just to get it open. But we did, and it really it's been a challenge. But we're on our third year, and we're getting a great nucleus of clientele there too, which is the key to every restaurant. Is you got to have that. You know,
well, the ambiance of both your, you know, all of them are just so quaint and classy and warm and fuzzy all at the same time.
Thank you. I mean the Rosie's is really like your traditional Italian, the dark woods, you know, the Chicago, the Drake Hotel, the sidecars for the martinis and stuff like that. That's what we wanted, and so we wanted Rosaria's to be a different look than the traditional Italian. So we were kind of the more coastal Italian, more open.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit brighter colors, you know, just like you're gonna have some oysters over there and go out to the beach, you know, and hang out. And that's the vibe it gives. Well, good.
Yeah, you don't want to leave either place. I want to just sit there. And you have a lot of live music there. You support live musicians a lot.
Yes. Uh-huh. And that's another tough thing because where do they? There's not a lot of places to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I designed that store. Rosaria is to have, you know, a stage and, you know, to bring up the 1-2-man band type thing. And
I used to drive Phil crazy.
When are you going to book me? Are you going to book me?
And I hope to keep that going. It's something the accountant goes, I don't know about the live music.
You know,
it's like.
Well, music's close to your heart because you're a musician. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, boy. I grew up with brothers that loved good music. I'm talking like John loved the Stones. Frank was Allman Brothers, Eagles, you know. Mike had a little of everything too in there, and Ozzy Osbourne mixed in.
Love
with, you
Ozzy.
Know,
yeah.
You know, Black Sabbath. I am Iron Man. Remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
My mom would go, why does he keep playing that album?
Yes.
I go, he just likes it, Mom, you know. But, and so I was a big Springsteen and Doors fan. I love the Doors. It just hit me. I don't know. The music, if you look at the lyrics from that band. It's just they're so far ahead of themselves, and it's still prevalent today. And he's been gone a long time.
When did he pass? Jim Morrison passed in the 70-something?
71, maybe.
One or two,
yeah,
I thought.
Then he was only, you know, 28 years old.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, that whole
lost
thing.
Lost the whole,
and,
Was it, are they part of this, wasn't it the 27 Club?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. I used to love Jim Morrison.
Oh, yeah. I read the book, you know.
I think that is the only book I read from front to back.
Yeah.
It's not a big book, but
me too. I'm not a big
book. No, his autobiography is kind of thick.
Yeah. I'm honored to do his music. I mean, I really am. I mean, to be able to sit there and, you know, practice with a fantastic band, fantastic horn section, got that big sound. In fact, we added the horns to a lot of his songs. And we have a date booked February 1st at the Maumee Theater. So, and we always do it for a charity, and it's for dyslexia again this year. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's just like, it's far enough away. I'm going, let's do another show. It's hard to be a 28-year-old man, you know. So I'm finding maybe this will be the last year. I was hoping to make it to 70.
Keep,
I don't know.
You don't look that age when you're up there. You got the hair.
Well, it's fun to do. And I'm up there. I turn into Jim, and I really feel it. You know, it takes me a while to get out of the character. And I remember Val Kilmer, who did the movie, he was doing an interview, and he said it took him 30 days to get out of the character. He got into it. He did one hell of a job. What a voice he has, and Jim has, and then Val just, you couldn't tell the difference on some of it, and but he just said it was just, you know, it was, he got into that character.
That's,
and it's
interesting.
Like,
I didn't know he was really singing. I thought maybe it was, that's cool.
Yeah, if you watch the movie, he's really singing it, and he, you know, he did a fantastic job. But it's, it is a, you know, it's a cool feeling to sing those songs, and I really.
Well, you do a great job.
He does.
You
know, I love going to acoustics, and
Yeah.
It's always a good time.
And that I'm going to keep doing that. I think until Nicole says, you know, there's nobody coming to see you anymore.
That's not true.
We're going to have to bring somebody in. Well, that was the deal. I said, you know, and she came up. We sold out last year at the Maumee Theater, and I was so happy about that for dyslexia. And it was standing room only. We even sold those out. And she came up. She's, you know, being a judge, she can't really get into too much of the stuff, but she came up on stage, and the deal was that if I get every chair with a butt in it sitting down for acoustics, she's got to come up and give me a kiss. She came up and gave me a kiss. So that's my goal. I want to try to count for acoustic at the Elks Club. I got to make sure everybody, you know, comes
chairs. We got this cup. No worries.
You were there last year. We had some fun.
We
did the shot heard around the world.
We
have to do a shot and pitch in $10 for the charity. And it was, and that's fun. That's fun. A great way to start that day off. And a little story about Nicole is, like, I went to Put in Bay and sang. I went there to do the gym thing for a song. And Gino DeMila says, you got to come and do your gym. So we did it, and it just took off. So we kept adding songs. And so it was so cool. Like, during the day, you'd sit there on the porch, work on the songs, and you'd play them that night live. And it was like making music, and it was so special. And, you know, the drummers were on paint cans, you know, and Gino has his accordion, so he's got the keyboard and the acoustic guitar player. And so we're working on songs, and we play them that night, and it just went over. Next thing I know, we're doing three sets of The Doors, three sets, and I ended up playing there for 11 years.
I remember,
It was a long time. Just kept going and going and fun, but that's when I came back to, you know, and I wasn't going to do it anymore, and back to Toledo. And I ran into Nicole. When I watched her, I came over there. I was the donut man. I brought the donuts for the volunteers in the morning. And I'm watching this girl work, and she's just unbelievable. I'm just going, and she starts early in the morning, right? And she's, you know, directing traffic. And I'm just going, wow, what energy, right? And I'm just going. And then I saw her get up and perform hours later after doing all that. And I'm going, I think I can still I can entertain. I think I can do this. She gave me that. Then I told her, I said, you gave me the adrenaline that I needed, you know, to keep playing and doing the door stuff.
Nice.
And
she's a powerhouse.
She is. Mm-hmm. She really is.
You should
really
never give up what you love to do.
No.
Ever. I agree. And it just, and it does keep me young. It's like, well, I got to lose some weight to get in those leather pants.
No, so I got to quit eating all the, just get new leather pants.
You know, no more lasagna for a little bit. Yeah. But it's, you know, it is. It gets me going. I take better care of myself because I have to lose weight and, you know, put down the wine glass for a little bit, even though I don't like doing that.
That's not fun.
But, was the first time that you dressed up as Jim, was it a Halloween party?
Halloween party at Cadillac Ranch. Mm-hmm. I've had this farmhouse out on Bancroft Centennial Road, and it had a barn, a big barn in it. It was pretty cool. So we'd have a Halloween party. It was the ranchers. It was myself and John Danahy, Chris Celesta. And we had this party, and it was so much fun. We'd do the lit pumpkins along from our house back to the barn. And we had a graveyard there and things coming out of the ground. It was spooky.
Cool.
And then you go into the barn. We had food downstairs. Then you go up a spiral staircase going up, and that's where the band played. And I would do Blues Brothers and Springsteen, and the brothers would all get up there, and we'd do some George Thorogood with the guitars.
Frank was Prince,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all started. Mm-hmm. I started singing. It was kind of glorified karaoke. Scotty Pease would come in from San Diego and play the drums. And that was a lot of fun. Those things we'd go to like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
That was
And
back
Wendy, you attended that?
I did.
She
many
did.
Years. And you know, I've never been to a Halloween party that's ever been any better. I, matter of fact, like, I just don't even go anymore. Like, why bother? You can't top those.
Yeah, they were
they
fun.
They were fun.
People really went out and just, you know.
Yeah.
And really did it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, one, Ruth Wolf wore her wedding dress, and she was the headless horse.
Headless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she had her wedding dress and blood on the top of her. Yeah. That's where her head was. Uh-huh. And so her face was actually down here. And she did.
Everybody
and she's
did
walking
good job.
Around. It's like, oh my God. And then Wolfie was, he had a tutu on or something. He was mm-hmm. dancing around. It was too funny. But fun times.
Yeah. It was the only time Phil, I know you probably turned off the mic, but he let me sing back up.
Yeah.
I forget.
I tell you all the time you can sing back up.
She can do it.
But she can.
I mean, it was so fun.
I gave her half of a voice lesson in the car on the way home from Chicago. I'm like, Wendy, you can sing.
You were a good teacher.
But we had a microphone live up there for background singers. And then we had Betsy and Jane were fighting over the microphone one year. And they kind of like fell down on stage.
Did they?
Trying to hog the microphone. It was hilarious. I call them the Velaroo sisters. But
so what advice would you give anybody thinking about getting into the restaurant business?
Do your homework. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with the food trucks. We had a little food truck association, so people would call me up and say, I bought a food truck, Phil, I'm ready to go. And I said, well, okay, congratulations, but, you know, where are you going to, you don't just buy a food truck, you have to have things lined up. So you talk to your friends, find somebody in a dealership so you can, you know, go out there and put your food truck at a car dealership or somewhere. You got to have some things to do. So you really have to plan it, because it's the hard part is doing business. Mm-hmm. You know, once you have the food truck, it's kind of like the easy part. Now, what are you going to do to make money to make that payment? Because your food truck is going to close down in, you know, November 1st usually, and that's about it. So what do you get? You have to make your payment all the way till May. You know, it's
right.
Like, so you got to make sure you charge enough to get you through the winter and to pay for all the things that go wrong on a food truck. It's a moving kitchen.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, your generator goes, whatever. So you have to charge enough to get through all the maintenance of that too. So, and then on the restaurant end of it, that's, they say it's the easiest thing to get into and the easiest thing to fail. I kind of agree with that. But I think it's hard to get into now, because it's going to take a lot of capital to do it the right way. And you always mm-hmm. want to do it the right way. And you want to have the best food that you can. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And you have to have a nice place that people are comfortable at. That's mm-hmm. why I have the plants and things like that on the patios, because I want you to think that you're on vacation mm-hmm. when you're eating on a patio at Rosie's or Rosario's. And I want it to be comfortable.
the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just, and then you have to have great people behind you, like the chefs that we have are very dedicated to doing it and to following the recipes how we want them, and then they bring in their own talent, and so it's a nice blend of everything, and kind of a melting pot per se, and, mm-hmm. and so I think that's an advice I give to somebody is really, you just got to really do your homework and talk to people that are in the business, mm-hmm. And see.
Mentors, yeah.
Yeah, it's just because, why make the same mistakes that I made, and I can try to help them with that. Because history does repeat itself, especially in the restaurant business, yeah. So you want to get as much knowledge as you can. So.
Mm-hmm. Is it more exciting or intimidating if you walk into a Saturday at Rosaria's that the whole place is packed, or if you walk into and you're Jim Morrison on a stage and the whole place is packed, does either one of those intimidate you, or is it just like this is the best night?
I would say it's exciting and intimidating a little bit, and all the way up to the time I walk out on stage, it's tough because I have to be a promoter and I'm tired. Yeah. At the time I get the microphone in my hand and I look out at the people and it's like there's 520 mm-hmm. people out there. I have to entertain them mm-hmm. and I have to be my best.
That's why I need the day off when I play out.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
really do. You Wendy probably is like, come
no,
on.
No, I get
you don't
it.
Play out till 7. You really can't.
Can't you just
And
go,
I'm like,
I don't.
No.
Yeah. And I'm getting into my gym and people know it. They know to leave me alone because I just go yeah. into my corner and I have to get within myself. And that's what
yeah,
you do.
That does have to be a little bit more work for you because you're not going out as Phil.
Right.
You're going out as somebody
else. Yeah, I
got to
be Jim.
Yeah.
And so, in days before that, I'll be watching film on him. I'll be reading those books. It just mm-hmm. it just gets you into it, and I have to prepare myself for it because when I go out on stage, I'm Jim, and that's how I feel. And there's a point in one of my favorite songs, L.A. Woman. It's just a great, great song, and I always usually end the night with that or one of the two songs we end the night with. And there's a part where the Mojo Rising part, and it builds up into a frenzy, and he gives out this scream and I do that, and it says I feel like Jim's just jumping in my body. And he used to say when he did that too, he felt the Indian soul jumped into him, and so I kind of carry that through, and that's and I kind of feel that it's really kind of wild. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And and I always singing to my number one fan mom, who used to be in that one seat. Mm-hmm. So I always I look down and I see her,
Yeah.
And it's just it's a spiritual thing in that. That's why I love the Maumee Theater.
Because mm-hmm, it's
yeah.
memories.
And I remember going out one time and before the show, I was there a day before. I was there on a Friday and place is just black. I go out on the stage just to get the feel. Mm-hmm. And I look down to where my mom always sits. Mm-hmm. I get this tingle down my spine. Mm-hmm. And I go, Mom, is that you? Mm-hmm. Tingle down my spine again.
Oh my God, you're going to make me cry.
Yeah.
I think I did because after when Mom passed away, I said, will you please come to me in my dreams? I said, promise me. She never did. I was mad.
She's busy.
Up. She's taking
she's
care
cooking.
Of Dad, making sure Dad's not getting in too much trouble with the big guy.
That's right. Yes.
And so when that happened, it was just the best feeling in the world. And I was really I'm putting on a hell of a show tonight.
Well, you're gonna ask him our famous question
after I'm done.
I know.
I'm very emotional. Come on.
No.
I'm Italian.
So it's yeah.
Oh, okay. So Phil. Our podcast is Hot Topics Cool Friends, and we'd like to know why you are our cool friend.
Well, I've known you guys, obviously Wendy, longer, and I respect what you guys do, and I think you guys, it just seems like you guys have a lot of fun, and I love that. And so you always have to bring the fun to your work. Otherwise, it's just work, and and that gets boring. So, and Wendy asked me to do this. I thought, well, that's going to be fun. I'm not going to, I like to have my fun too. And I said, I'm sure we're going to have some laughs here. And I didn't know you guys did the show naked. And this is
right. Yeah, that's but why there's no cameras. Is,
and so, no, but, you know, seriously, I just, you know. I love doing what I'm doing, and you guys do too. And I said, we all have that in common. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know?
So we come back on part two and maybe tell us some more stories, because I know you have a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. I mean, after that last comment, am I invited back?
You're invited back. Sure.
Then maybe we'll even really be naked.
All right. I'll be back here for sure.
Oh, no.
Poor Chris.
But thank you.
No, thank you for coming. We really, really appreciate it. And where is the best place to find all the information about Rosario's and Rosie's?
Oh, right on Facebook.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends, I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer, and
Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.